You're John.
And this is wine. We're not John Wayne.
We were looking for a wine now, Zach.
What was the wine? What was the John Wayne wine?
Oh, the hell I will.
Yeah, the hell I will.
What a terrible name for a cowboy.
Absolutely. I guess we wanted to just simply start by saying we're just two normal bikes.
And then when you say normal, we're ordinary bikes.
But you're both champions.
Absolutely. Yeah, but we both came from a point where we didn't really know it. Wayne grew up in a church background.
I'll tell my story.
So we've got two different stories.
Yep.
But it's not a wrong story because that's our story. And just before when I was in my room, I said, the shed is just a safe place. It's got to be a safe place where blokes feel comfortable to be able to relax and just come, and then eventually, when they feel the right time, to tell a bit of their story. But it's not a performance, and it's not entertainment.
Yeah.
It's a mental story.
Let's take a step back. Let's take a step back, because Shed is really about stories, and John's story and my story is quite different. So I would like to ask you a few questions just quickly, and we're going to do a little bit of Shed, and I'm going to find out a bit about you guys. But can I just say, John, just in a nutshell, give us a little bit of... you and Dad as a young fellow. Just give us a bit of your difference of where you've come from in the scheme of God's kingdom to where I've come from.
Well, we went to church. Oh, I hated going to Sunday school, but
that's a common theme among men, I reckon.
Dad wasn't really active, but you know, we'd go to church, but it was like we'd go to church for 1 hour a day and then go home for 23 hours of 6 days, 23 hours of the same stuff. So there was a mismatch.
Church wasn't relevant?
No, and we never, actually in hindsight, we had a Bible at home, but it was just full of font, it was never open. So the stories in the Bible and those stories were never real.
So knowing God as a young fella or knowing God?
Didn't know, and I only knew, we talked about God and Jesus, but that was it. Didn't know anything about it.
Didn't have a relationship.
So there was no relationship whatsoever.
So then when you step into your relationship stuff with a woman, you don't really want to know God about it because you don't know him?
No, I didn't know and I didn't understand. And I didn't have a relationship with my dad. Dad was there, but he was absent. But that left a hole within me, and I, looking back, I was anxious. I needed someone to come. It's all right, mate. I wanted to be like Dad. Like, we're coming home from church. When can I smoke? He smoked. When can I smoke?
So that's a bit of the story of a lot of the young fathers. I want to be a bit like Dad.
I wanted to be like him, but then when Mum and Dad divorced, I hated his guts. I wanted to kill him. Yeah. So there's this.
I want to be like somebody I hate almost.
Yeah, and trying to be something, and I didn't know who I was. Like, there was no encouragement, you know, told you're hopeless or you're no hope. You're just like your father. You're a typical innocent mother.
There's a huge part of John's story. We don't want to go there now. And no. It's a big part of mine. But I just want to paint a bit of a picture. So you didn't really have a good close relationship with God. No. Step into a relationship. How'd that work for you? Just in a nutshell.
Failed.
Heaps of reasons, we won't even go over there now. Since then, you recognise you suffer from a few things and you're only starting to recognise some of that stuff now.
I've struggled with depression over the years and the highs and lows, but I hated medication years ago. And you know, finally when a separation, a de facto relationship fell over, I fell to pieces and I could not do anything anymore. My father had committed suicide when I was 21.
So that plays on your mind a bit?
And if you're just like your father, you know, it's like, well, I struggle with these ups and these downs. When am I going to pull the pin? And it was at that point that, I tried to commit myself into a mental institution because I couldn't actually reconcile the thoughts. And I failed. I couldn't get in there. But I realised that there were some seriously crazy people there. But what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? So another sense of failure.
Would you call yourself a people pleaser? Did you say very much of motivation?
Very, very much a people's pleaser. Seeking affirmation, you know, sort of.
And I need to know my like,
yeah, and can't say no. Okay. You know, I've struggled to say no through my life. I've never, you know, about 7 years ago, I only found about boundaries that I could say no. You know, somebody told me, you know, when he said that, you know, no doesn't mean not ever, it means not just now. I thought, what? I didn't understand that. But it was just a simple thing that, oh, you know, I can say no. But terrible.
You and women now? Confident?
No, I'm not confident. I'm in a relationship. You know, it's sort of going ahead, but just deathly afraid of making the same mistakes.
Fear. You're a good-looking bloke, and I'm not saying that because I want to give you hope all the way, but you know, you can sort of see, I guess, in a way, what happens from history, where I'm trying to please people, I'm trying to be something for my father that he recognises the minimum, right? That I'm an okay son. Is that how you would have felt? No. I need a bit of acceptance from Dad, and you didn't really get it. No?
No, and there's a rejection, I think.
But it set you up for stuff, and you've got this fear
set me up for failure all along. You know, just having encouragement. You know, come on.
So why are you here today? Why are you sitting in that seat doing this today? Why?
Because I was encouraged. I listened to people's stories. You know, I thought it was just me.
Yeah.
You know, I was invited to a shed night, and I thought, when men get together, it was going to be beer, pizza, topless waitresses and strippers. And then when I got there, it was a barbecue. So, you know, there was, you know, no expectations, but there was a fee. But hearing three guys' stories, just snapshots, it wasn't their whole life story, but it was a little bit like, you know, bit of Mac's story, bit of Paul's story, bit of Raymond's or Ivan's. You know, and I thought, I'm not the only one. I thought I was the only one, and that I was the defective. Yeah.
Something wrong with you?
Yeah.
Well, you're not defective. And we just want to...
But I want to say, even though I know I'm not the... You know, I've been on a 7-year journey of guys encouraging me and introducing me and telling me about, you know, their actions and just walking with me and allowing me, you know, it's taken me a long time to trust.
Yeah.
To actually develop that trust. Mm-hmm. You know, and Ian was instrumental in that. He stepped in as a father. I asked him a question, and it's not about Ian, but I asked him, was there ever a time in his life that he'd done everything wrong? That's the way I felt. You know, and just talking, and yet, I cried, and he let me cry. But he came around and he asked me, can I pray for you? Now, my instant gut feeling was, get away from me. I don't want anything to do with that. But the little boy said, yes. And it's, there is that little boy that has been wounded, but he stood beside me and put his arm around me. And for somebody who I didn't know, and he didn't know my story, he accepted me. There was no condemnation. There was no judgment. And that's what shed. You know, so that start, and then listening to guys' stories, it's like, you know, I've been built up. I've still got a wounded little boy, but as an adult, I have to talk to that boy within myself, because John is a man, but I've still got the boy, but I've got to let that little boy not get there.
So just bringing this to a bit of a...
And it's woundedness, so I'm here because everybody's got something. So who listens to that?
So now, can I just sum you up a little bit? And I'm not trying to cut you off.
No.
But part of what I hear you saying, not just now, but because we're good mates, is you start to realise you're not that abnormal.
No, I'm not abnormal. I still struggle with it. But it's knowing that I am okay.
Yeah.
And it's hearing that, and it's getting rid of the old tapes.
Yeah.
The old tapes, talking with Fred Veris up at the dome last night. You know, sometimes, you know, it takes a lot You know, it takes time to get and erase those tapes. So it's just being safe and having men who show the love of Jesus.
Not judging you.
And who are a slightly different level. They're leading. They're still leading, but we're following. But we're leading another group behind us.
We can inspire.
And it's sitting beside people and listening. Yeah. Not saying anything, having them, telling them how to fix it. It's just having a safe place to be able to just have a dump. And not saying, oh, well, you should do this, or have you tried that, or...
All the advice.
Hallelujah, you know, I'll pray for you, and it's over and done with. It's just a little bit to let that hurt seep out. So that's... I like to see blokes be free, because I know what it's like to struggle. And I've seen that freedom, and I want more of that freedom. Mm-hmm.
There is a really nice part after the hard part there. Read your text out you showed me before. This is Shed. And have a look at his Bible.
I didn't bring it down today.
For Blake 7 years ago.
I didn't have a Bible, and it's the only thing that I've got.
You have a look at his Bible.
I can't believe you didn't bring it. You take it everywhere.
I didn't bring it.
That's okay, mate.
The text was from Trish, a Christian couple. I thought, because I'd stuffed the relationship, I'd used sex and I'd abused it, and coming to better blokes and sort of constantly refilling and shed night, it's a constant thing of renewal. It's not as though you're instantly fixed and that's it, you're flatlining. You keep going. Each day is a new battle, but, you know, God, I can't get through today with that, yeah. But the text was, Trish and I, she said, oh, well, I won't tell you the other part. There was a couple of kisses, but do you want to go to Lover's Night at Gateway Baptist? A friend of yours is speaking, so, and it's Peter, so.
PJ's the lecturer of a Lover's Night. Out of Gateway Baptist, and his young lady wants to take him to the phone. I was not here to say.
And then this is for somebody who thought I was on the scrapper. Yeah, I'd made all mistakes. There's no hope.
You thought you'd burn a bridge with Trish too, didn't you?
I did, and again, we went our separate ways at Christmas. But you know, here was a lady that actually was looking. You know, she sort of said that she could see herself marrying me. And I thought, well, who me? I don't see anything in me, but other people do that. And, you know, there's that spark and hope, but I was feeling terrible. So I actually had to take what was left of my broken, trembling heart and take a risk of actually taking it out and presenting it and saying, you know, the phone call was before a shed night. And I said, you know, I've got to tell you, I miss you. But I do.
See, look, I guess the reason we're here is to talk about how to run a shed. And the reason we talked about how we're going to do this, but we go around to sheds everywhere. We feel pretty privileged up in Brisbane. Morrow's water on those doors. He's probably one of the most authentic blokes that I had met in the church up until then. My story's a little different to John's. I was brought up in the church. I'm a Lutheran as Lutheran can be. And I'm embarrassed about that some days, but I'm as proud as punch. I love my church, and I love what we're about. We're just not meeting men's needs. And this is the first thing in my whole 50-odd years of being a Christian in the Lutheran church that I've struck that isn't a men's breakfast.
Well, look, I will point out something too. It's not Lutheran. Shed Night is not a denomination. It's, you know, it's kingdom. You know, We have Anglicans, we have CSEs, we have people, you know, everyone. But there's
only non-believers. Heaps of them.
Agnostics, you know, atheists. But it's guys who are searching for that meaning, but there's only one Christ. Mm. So it's best not to be, you know, and then this is some of the tips. We've got some stuff that we can give you, but there's the info on the website. But there's no formula. It's just a safe place where a bloke can tell his story. But we draw it, and it's not all of his story.
The reason I say Lutheran is because most of this camp is Lutheran. Yeah. And in moving in the circles within the church, I'm blessed that I'm able to run a shared night down in Bingley, and God is just doing what he does. You know, like it's got nothing to do with us. But the reason I say that is, in talking about this sort of stuff within my circles of where I worship, people are shy about it and very, you know, they want to keep making their man's breakfast. And it's really great to hear a guest speaker. And the reason we wanted to start like this is because we're just like you guys. There's nothing. We're probably not quite as good as you, but we're getting as a pastor. And I'm only joking.
No.
As a pastor, we have expectations of our pastors. And we invite our pastors along and we say, you just sit here, because this is lay led for a good reason.
Absolutely.
Because you're a bloke and you've got battles and you're given all week and you need somewhere to go that you can just be you.
Can I just say that's exactly why my wife sent me, but insisted that I come. We've had a really stressful week. I offered to stay home. She said, you have to be here and you have to receive.
Yeah.
And I have. Yeah.
And it's I think it's imperative, you know, like you can only give what you get. And if there's a bloke, you don't feel like you're an okay bloke, and we're all battling in some part of our life. Satan loves to play those tapes back. You're right, you're not okay. You're not okay. You're not okay. You are a failure. So if you're gonna look at running a shed and you're going into there and I would imagine most of you fellas are here because you've had a battle in your life and you've got some kind of passion. The people that are passionate about something usually have struggled like crap through it. I sat at breakfast this morning with four or five fathers and just asked the question, what's your battle? Every one of those blokes have struggled deep in their manhood over something, and they're here this weekend not only for healing for themselves but because they want to offer something to somebody else. So if you're thinking of kicking up a shed and you don't have that passion in your heart, then have a think about your battles, what's been going on in your life, whether it be relationships or children, or your connection with your dad, or whatever the hell it is, whether you've just been sacked or whatever, and have a think about, is this really where you want me to be? Because if it's not where God wants you to be, find somebody else to do it, I reckon.
But if it won't work. It won't work if you try to force it. Mm-hmm. It won't work. And blokes can see through.
Yeah.
They can see through the facade.
Performance.
And that's it. You know, I think before you came in, you know, shit isn't a performance, and it's like, you know, you, the guys, if you are going to, you know, and who, it's not, who hasn't been to a shed before or has a shed in their town? Uh-huh. So yeah. Most of you, it's being emotionally vulnerable to someone, and you can't do it by yourself. You need team, you know, a couple of people together. Now, the one, can I use this example here? You know, the house shed, and I can't tell the end story, but it used to be men's breakfasts. And then sheds, one, you go around to different people's sheds,
yeah.
And one person would speak. And then, actually, can I ask you to go on for that?
Yeah, the shed has emerged, and it's definitely a God move. And that's why we believe it's continuing to go. We started off by just going to a different shed. Say you came to my shed, in the real wash, you're not allowed to tidy up your shed. Now, even if you had a house with two roller doors or tilted doors, you just lift the dollars up and you put your barbecue just on the outside there, and you had to back the cars out, and we just jammed as many in as we could. Now we had 20 blokes for a long time. We copped a lot of rubbish and criticism from people within the church that hurt us because it wasn't spiritual and it didn't meet all these little traditional guidelines. We didn't say grace before. We, even though we prayed lots through the week about, Lord, your will be done. So we go to, say, my shed, and say if I've got golf club, or I've got a kayak and a bike in my shed. So I would just talk about, oh, my kayak, you know, I'd just go out the front when it's calm, and I'd just usually paddle around to the jetty and back or whatever. That would just give a bit of an idea about me. And then we did that, and that's all hairy-fairy and good, but then we'd sort of say, oh, and if the person was comfortable, we'd say, God, you know, like God. And then that person might say, oh yes, I've been brought up in the church. And then very Lutheran, they'd say, oh, Pastor so-and-so baptised me and I had my first communion. I rattled off all this history stuff, which most blokes couldn't care less about. Men are kingdom men. Men only want to talk about God. They don't talk about denomination. When we all come together, no one says which church you go to. Okay? So then we kept doing that until it got big enough and we ran out of sheds. And it just got to happen at my truck yard because we're getting bigger, 50, whatever. And we put a little stage. We made sure that the stage is just a big slab of ply. And we put it on bricks so it's not too high because we don't want to be looking down on top of the men. And we put two stools up the front so that you don't fancy around. And we put two speakers up. So that men generally don't want to talk up the front, they don't want to hold a microphone, so we had a speaker set up, and we're just a little bit higher, and then we just push all the chairs up, and we didn't have it set up like a school room. We just put the first two rows of chairs in close, and just pattern, and then we just leave the chairs all stacked up. And then so when it's time to talk, we just sit up the front, and we just go. So Roger, those cats beat the Blues last night. And then all the blokes started grabbing their chairs and they just put their chairs down where they wanted. There's no water.
Do it yourself.
They came close. What's that?
Do it yourself. Yeah.
And then you make sure men like to be close together. So if you've got only got 20 men, don't have it in a big flaming hall.
Yeah.
Have it somewhere where you're poking close. Yes. Like, you know, closer. And then we're all parted together. And then we always, so we did this, we got to a bloke who, we found out blokes over 50 talk too long. We got too many good things to talk about. Right? But God showed us. This one bloke made homebrew. And the night we got to his place, he's the same age as me, he's a great guy. He had all this homebrew. He went to a lot of trouble making this homebrew. And he went on about every bottle of homebrew and all this stuff, and we're all sitting there asleep. And I got up just towards the end and I said, so Owen, so what else is going on in your life? You know, we've all tried your homebrew and that. And then he just went, whoosh. He had some dramas with his family, big time, and he's a godly man. And in 5 minutes, God just went, whoosh. Right? We had to put up with an hour of the homebrew story, right? And we got to there. And God, that was like God saying, men like impact. Just hear the bit that's now. So after that, we had this little, we don't have a committee. We never have a committee meeting. We just said, okay, these older blokes have got so much life. You get them up every year. You just get a bit this year and a bit next year and a bit there. So after that, we just decided, oh, we'll just sit up the front with the bloke, and if he's getting a bit too long talking about the first part of his life, we'll just chop in and say, come on, what about the good bit? And that's how it developed. Mm. And then, you talk now about how you've developed to be a bloke sitting up the front, what pain you've gone through.
Absolutely. I guess what I wanted to really start to share is why even do share, and why am I up here? I don't like being up front. I'm not an up front person. I'm chippy, and I love just doing stuff, and I'd be better on the barbecue. Well, I think I'd be better on the barbecue. But with a few fellas like John, a bit of encouragement, and thinking, well, Lord, if this is really, really where you want us to be, and that's the question you could ask yourself, is this where you want to be? He gives you the tools to do what you need to do. And how did it start for me? I sat across a men's blood dinner from Watto one night after running what we classed as shed, which was men's breakfast basically, at the night time, just had burgers. At a men's dinner, eating prawns and drinking beer and having a big feed. And listened to this bloke talk about his mission trip overseas. Awesome bloke, put him down at all. Awesome bloke, great story. Watto said, "How are you going?" I said, "Bored shitless. Absolutely bored. I couldn't give a shit what he did over there. Doesn't matter to me. I'm never going to be that sort of a person that's going to go and do that sort of stuff. I'm just going to be a chippy, a dumb chippy, just doing what I do. And I just want to do life, and I want to do it best. And he said, come over and run me down. So we've been running this shit for about 3 years. He said, come over and run me down, I'll show you what's going on. So I tried to get a handful of fellas from my area to go over there, and nobody didn't want to go. So I thought, okay, I'll go by myself. A bit of an hour's drive or what I shit. And went over there and blew my socks off. I heard men talking about the pain in their life and the victories in their life I'd never heard before. Never heard it in church before. Never seen it in anybody before. Nobody talked about it before. And as a, I still consider myself a young bloke. I'm over 50, but I consider myself as a bloke that's still got a young heart and I've still got a lot of life left in me. And I thought, how can I waste all this life doing stuff that didn't make any difference? You are in there. And so what I says to me, tell me a story. So we go and have a cup of coffee, and this is imperative that you do this if you're thinking about it. This is part of the key of Shed. He says, I'll share you a cup of coffee. So he takes me out, and he loves coffee, and I don't mind coffee. And he asked me my life, and I started to spill out a bit of stuff. And he goes, hang on a minute, what's going on here? What's your battle? What's this? And the reason I want to share this is because it's important of the questions you ask, not only on a Shed night, but as we've been sitting around here having smoke, having breakfast and stuff like that, I listen to a little bit of what the way we men interact, and we ask many of the wrong questions. We ask questions that freeze men up, that embarrass men. I've worked with a bloke that's not a Christian, and he went to a party the other day and he said, oh, I always hate these parties because you go along and most of them are like solicitors and stuff. And he said, oh, nobody for nothing. I don't even have a trade.
Or for a bloke who's just been sacked or lost his job.
I'm scared to death if somebody asks me what I do. And what question do most of us ask when we see somebody for the first time?
What do you do?
Now, I can't claim fame to this. I've learnt this. And you can learn it too. I try not to ask a bloke, what do you do? And when we come to something like this, another question we ask is, where do you go to church? What if the bloke doesn't even know who God is? What if he doesn't go to church? You've just categorised and say, something wrong with me. I'm defective because I don't fit your expectation of what I should be. So be careful of the questions we ask. We've got a list of questions. There's questions on the website. So you ask a bloke, like what I would say, what gets you out of bed in the morning? Now, if he wants to tell you, and most fathers will start to do that, oh, I'm a chippy, or I'm a this one, or a that, he's obviously, to me now, I look at that, and I'm thinking, no, I don't give a rat's what you do. I want to know what gets you out of bed in the morning. And they look at you like, I don't get it. Mate, like, is it, you got a family, you got a dog you got to feed? What is it? What do you love? What do you love to do?
A car, a large bone.
Shit.
I've been misunderstood.
I'll keep you in bed in the morning.
But you know what I mean? But this is it. We men relate differently to women.
Really?
And we can have a laugh.
You know, but not at my expense.
Yeah.
Too late. But see, that's it. It's a leveling moment. It takes the heat off others. You know, but humour is good. You know, what's our passion?
Keep talking, because this is what we do at Shed. He's doing the interview and I'm sitting in the front row and I'm watching him do the interviews and I got my eye on the clock and a good Shed interview is about 15 or 20, no more. Guts. So he's listening to God and he's talking to John.
And you're texting.
And I'm just sitting here and John, and we have love and trust in each other. And he doesn't have to worry whether it's going too long or too slow. And I'll just go,
this guy's
getting a bit sour.
Pick it up.
Or, come on, ask another question. Get up moving. You know, we're blokes. We don't want to be sitting here bored. So I just look, and we've got confidence in each other where he doesn't have, no one else knows. And he just looks at me and I go, that'll do.
Now, because, you know, in the pre-interview, while I was waiting to talk about pre-interview.
We're just talking a bit of it.
But it's actually that going having a coffee, you know, not the day before or on the day. It's best a week out. You know,
have that time to think about it.
Yeah, you just talk, okay, well, and Ian's talked about, you know, sort of, God provides the speakers, but it's a week out. But spend time. Have an hour with someone and then go away. Ask the bloke what's on his heart. But you actually have an hour with a bloke and let him tell his story. And then you'll pick up things. Oh, yeah, so there's one particular guy. He in Africa. His father came home and just ran over his bike. He only had, it was a wooden timber bike, but there was a lot of, you know, that was a toy. And you know, there's this commotion, his wife came out, but they were old traditional people. They didn't express love. And, you know, that the pain of his bike, you know, his dad got up him for leaving the bike there. But that caused the pain. But it sort of, you get the whole story, but there's a couple of key points that you can actually pick up on. Right. And then if a bloke won't go there, you know, sometimes if it's raw, he might try to avoid it. And you actually have to say, no, tell me more. Or go deeper.
Where we were going was, I was just talking about where Watto had said, you know, like, the preacher chatting. And for me, and I can only tell my story, I can't tell you how it's affected everybody else, but the reason I'm so passionate is, for the first time in my life, there was a bloke that actually was dead set keen to find out about me, what was really on me. You know, I go to church all the time, that's why I was around here all the time. And they go, g'day mate, how you going? They don't give a shit. They just, you know, if you're really in pain, then most of them would say, you know, don't really tell me. And realistically, when we ask somebody how you're really going, up until recently, oh, I didn't really want to know. I haven't got time for all your crap. You know, if you've got problems, mate, go somewhere else. But I've learned that's not how it is. So Watto, for the first time, is interested in me, Wayne Neagland. Wayne Alexander Neagland, champion son of the king, which I never realised before. You know, going to church for 50 years, never realised that. When God said you're a champion, he meant everybody else, not me. And I reckon probably most of us blokes feel like that. So we sit down and we have this bit of a chat. He said, I'm going to interview you. There's up in Bethesda, which was just coincidentally my old hometown, where I was born and bred. And I now live in Brisbane, but we rock up there. He's going to interview me at this men's breakfast. A couple of fellas up there wanted to start shed, so off we go. And I'm feeling pretty comfortable because it's at the Uniting Church. I'm a leader and nobody knows me. Bugger me. I rock up there and coincidentally, I'm divorced. When I got divorced, people in my church just split. I could get no help. Nobody knew anything. They need to know the details, but they just wiped me like a dirty rag. And I'm sitting there asking questions and no answers from the church. Disappointed as anything. Thinking, and I think I'm not the only bloke that's been there. And I'm not blaming the church for that. I'm just saying it's not an avenue where blokes are going to go to get answers because we don't give them. We got them, we just don't give them. So we rock up there. There's two pastors that haven't spoken to me since I've been divorced. Sorry. But they got the wrong story. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, well, you're a joker. This is ridiculous. I'm not going to stand up here and talk about my life and spill my guts out in front of these fellas. And Watto's looking at me and said, you're right. I'm thinking, no. Inside I'm going, no. I go, yeah, I'm all right. And I'm shivering like crap underneath. Now, the reason I'm sharing this is because this has had the most profound impact on why I'm doing what I'm doing. Because God did a job in me when Watto sat beside me and he asked me these questions. And I had to honour my ex-wife, who at the time I didn't have a lot of respect for under the circumstances. I love my kids. And I love my church, but I'm about to say stuff that people could have misunderstood. So I go, Lord, this is not about me. This is all about you. If you're going to use any part of my story to bring glory to you and to touch the hearts of these men, that's your problem. But I'm just going to say it, and you will cover what you have to do. He did a job on me. I cried, I think, three times. I couldn't even carry on a couple of times. And Watto didn't let me off the hook.
And when a bloke cries, normal Aussie is a business. We laugh and we go, oh, no, that's enough. Sit down now.
Or we'll say, okay, that's all right. We won't. Okay, we'll move on to something else. But there's grief. All of us have some sort of grief in us, and grief is grief. If you lock it up, it just gets worse and worse. So, you know, we get told in society, boys don't cry. You know, man up. You know, suck it up, princess. You know, take a teaspoon of cement, harden up.
Now, we should know better in the church because we talk a lot about confession. We do it every Sunday.
Compassion.
But when we confess, what are we confessing? Are we confessing what is up on the screen or what we read in the book, or are we confessing what's really in our heart? And that's what God did to me. He showed me what real confession was about for the first time, I reckon, in my life. Now, anyhow, that's just what happened to me. That's why I'm passionate. I get up and Watto interviewed another bloke, he interviewed John, and we're having a cover after it. Those two pastors that hadn't spoken a word to me for about 4 years, and when I would go off to church, they didn't know how to deal with me. They didn't know what to do. They both come up to me at different times and hug me and said, mate, I had your peg all wrong. I had no idea what was going on. See, God does a job not only in the bloke you interview, and if you're fair dinkum, he does a job in every fellow sitting there. There'll be a moment for every bloke. Right. But it's got to be about God. If it's not about God, you're wasting your time.
And it might be, you know. All of you blokes might not get it, but there'll be one person who actually understands, and it's speaking to him. And it's not about the, you know, it's about one person getting it, that he's loved, that it's okay.
So partly what we're saying is, oh, sorry, Warner.
I just wanted for you two men to make sure you tell the boys how you've developed as really good interviewers to share. Now, this is the hardest, most crucial part, and you've worked really hard at this, but everyone's capable of doing this if they wish to do it. So
we'll go into that.
Go into that, because both of you didn't want to interview anyone, you didn't want to go anywhere near it. Wayne Shednight
probably still don't want to do it.
Wayne Shednight would have 150 bikes down at Beenleigh every couple of months. And this is a man who's copped a lot of criticism from a lot of religious, good loving people who love the Lord with all their head. And go on about that, so the boys can actually know that.
The important thing in any shed, and what has given me the passion for men, particularly, that I have, is there is no judgment. You know, I come along there and I said stuff that if I said in church, oh, holy crap, they would have, you know, I'd have been pegged and hung and dried and bored, probably. But there was not one way. These two pastors couldn't judge me because it was my story. They hadn't heard it before. They had no idea what it was about. So it has to be no judgment, you know. And we've got fellows now coming that are, I interviewed a fellow just only a couple months ago that has spent 18 years in jail. And most of the fellows that come along with our shed are not so much churchy fellows. I mean, are mostly churchy fellows. And it's important to know how you're going to get this guy to open his story up, I think, for me. And this leads a bit with what I was saying about how we interview. Because mostly you can say, where did you come from? Where did you start? And we go to the end. And I'm thinking, I'm just praying, Lord, look, I don't want to start where this bloke started, because I don't think that's going to help. Because these blokes are not going to get their guts of it. So we started where he finished. I said, mate, where were you last week? And I think for Steve, he was in jail for 18 years, about a week before he interviewed him, or something, a couple of weeks before. And everybody went, holy crap, 18 years, what did he do? You know, straight away, whether we like it or not, we go into this sort of, we meet this guy, what sort of bloke is he? And we talked a bit about it. Then we went back into what his childhood was like, and he stepped his way through. And I said, where else would you expect this bloke to be? If he didn't go to jail, where was he going to go? Nobody loved him. He was rejected. He had all these problems, and everybody led him in the wrong way. And he asked the questions. Nobody had any answers. Where else was he going to go?
The part is how do you actually learn to interview or ask the right questions? It's actually, you know, I went and I listened to Ian, and I think he asked it, but it comes down to listening. There's a saying, I think it's Darrell, he says, take the cotton wool out of the ears and stick it in your mouth. In other words, shut up and listen. You know, and we've got two ears, so we need to listen twice as carefully as what we say with our mouth, because, you know, once we say something, you can't take it back. But, you know, and sometimes we're too quick, but it's listening. But it's also actually going to, you know, going on road trips, going to sheds, you know, making the time to go to another shed. You know, because, you know, the road trip is where you actually get to interact and sort of talk and listen, and then sit and listen to other guys' stories, and then listen to how those present it. And you might think, you figure out, well, these questions, or maybe you should have asked him that one. You know, he faltered there. But it's going and actually listening and actually spending time with men.
It's very hard to, when you're going to interview someone and they've got a lot to say, a real lot, it's all good. It's very hard to be able to say, look, we need to move on. You know, come on, let's move on. Let's get down to when you're about 20. Keep moving on, because deep down we don't want to interject, and we don't want to offend and all that sort of stuff. That's the Aussie bloke. We don't really like to do it, but we have to. So we need. I always think about, everyone's got like time for about two or three main little points. And like I told Blake's, these boys too, just get your borrow right up on this part of your hand here. You know, it might be grief or jail or whatever. So that when you're sitting out in the front, the boys that are doing the interviews, they know that they can get this bloke to these 2 or 3 points. And if they're sort of going on and on and on and on, these boys can still say, right, let's get up to this point, right? Because these boys have done the time talking to the bloke who wants to be up the front. They don't get forced up the front.
There's a pre-interview.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
It's
so
important. It's imperative to do the pre-interview. It's not to instigate it. It's just to get the guy focused on what's your story.
I think the best, probably, I'm not too sure, it might be in my head, but the best interview that I had was with Ian Hollier. In that I spent time with him, went out with coffee and sort of got to know him, and it wasn't just a one-off 5-minute job, it was actually spending time over a period of a couple of weeks.
And that's what I said before.
And it's feeling comfortable, and because, you know, he's been...
For Ian it was important that you showed interest into his life.
So that must be an important part of building your shared is that when you catch up with the pre-interviews, it's actually, you know, part of the whole.
See, shared isn't once a month. Mm. See, we go out for dinner and we do shared when we're at dinner. We went out for dinner the other night, and this is what shared does. We're out for dinner and there's a young fellow there serving us a beer. What I goes to him, what's your dream, mate? And the guy's a barman in a pub or a club. And the kid looks at him like he's got two heads. Nobody's ever asked me that before, and nobody's ever been interested in me before. See, that's what shed does. It says, I'm interested in you. You're a champion son of the king. And when somebody is interested, most blokes go through life, and probably that's part of where John was at too, is nobody's really been interested enough to ask me the dead set, what is my dream? This kid starts spilling his guts out, well, we could hardly shut him up.
We got the best service, didn't we?
We got the best service. Treat the bloke behind the counter like he's a champion, and he is. He couldn't help us quick enough. We had coffee.
One of the things that my wife does when we go to a shopping centre is anyone who's cleaning or doing the toilets, or whatever, she'll go up and say thank you.
Make them feel important.
Yeah.
Not because we're trying to get something, but because they are important.
Yes. She just goes up and says, look, thank you for doing this. You're doing a really good job. Yeah. And that's pretty much it.
It's interesting, Paul, with the cleaner. Worked in a head office and used to stay back late. Mm. And I'd say hello to the cleaner.
Yeah.
And we'd talk and I said, you know, Stripe had good money, but you know, nobody else. If they just dismissed him, and I said, how do you do it with the hours? And he says, oh, this is play money. She owned 2 franchises of Subways and this. She only cleaned because she was divorced, and the cleaning money was play money for her daughter and her to go away to help fund her dreams. But we have this dismissive attitude of people, you know, judgmental thing. It's sort of, this person's doing this. Oh,
just
they're below. Clean. Below.
Just to clean.
Yeah, and it's not. That person has a heart and a dream.
Okay.
And it's like, well, you know, what is their dream? Ian challenged me a couple of last year, what's your dreams and vision, you know? Hmm. And I was stuck. I've been so focused on the past and the crap and all of that. The dream, what is the dream? So I'm
questions from everyone. What time do you finish?
I don't know, what time does it finish?
It's 12:20. 12:20, I just thought,
get a bit of gas in some of you fellas.
And keep talking.
Well, I'll chuck in a question, right?
Yeah.
Or John. Have you got somebody lined up to interview your next shed?
Not really.
So where are you going to get you from? Is it going to be one of the blokes from the shed? Or
it's going to
be somebody you meet in the street.
Well,
how do you get
it?
We run
them
every 2nd month. These guys have been
over
the pump. They do it every month.
What happens is blokes, we put the invitation out, you know, sort of first up, if anybody of you feel that you'd like to have a talk and you feel ready, come and talk to us.
You'll find some of those
folks. So there's an open invitation.
Right.
And there's a bloke...
We don't... We don't promise anyone an invitation. But plenty of people ring me up and say, oh, I've got a really good speaker for you. Come shed night. Mm. And you never see them come into a shed night. They just want to come and stand up the front and I.
That's what's not sell something too, you're right.
We don't even, like our politician, Peter Dutton, he was the assistant treasurer to Costello, big time. He comes to the shed. When he comes to the shed, he's Peter.
Mm.
And when he's up the front having a talk, I talk to Peter about him and his wife and his two kids and these battles. We don't say, this is Peter Dutton, he's the so-and-so. Mm. No, that, men don't want to hear that. No, men don't want to hear titles. But coming back to your, that is a difficult thing. That's a difficult thing to do. And you need someone to really take aboard that. And you need to be bold. I would go, I've actually got most of the speakers for 10 years at Moorumba Downs. And it's easy for me. I'm a connector of people. But I would just say, Roger, someone up for a shed story. And yet, Roger, go, oh, man, leave me out. You let me know, Roger, when it's time. Darryl, about time you had a bit of a story, had a shout up the front, because we've been talking, I know his story. And I just say, pretty, so within this room, it's like, well, you ready? Okay, away we go. So we do our little pre-interview. Now what I do is I get someone and I say, John, can you ring up Darryl and get with him beforehand? And do you know God has provided us with three speakers for 10 years, every month, and people come to me and say, we get 180, 100, 200 bucks every month now, and blokes come up to me and say, oh, did you organise the theme for the night? And I go, no. The theme for the night? No, it's all God's business. But there's a theme here over this weekend. This is quite amazing. Like, PJ's my mate. Last year we had that little talk about sexual clean out, Proverbs 7 girl, right? As soon as he and I got on the plane, he said, mate, next year I'm going to talk about sexual whatever, right? Now, I'm not a teacher of whatever there. My talk last night was, God gave that to me a few weeks ago. What I'm going to talk about tonight, I've been saying all morning, Lord, PJ's going to cover all this stuff. Well, I just shut up and let him just keep going. No, God's given me a little message to talk tonight, and it's about kingdom men honouring women, all women. Now, I can sit there and not be able to see, but pull me apart. Where am I going?
No, you can't.
But I'm going to give this little message because I know God wants me to do that because God's going to do something with someone else. So each bloke, some blokes take 4 years to say, yes, I'm ready for a talk. And there's never been one bloke that's come up the front of the shed that's been forced to come up the front of the shed.
Can I just answer
that? Again, it's trust. Mm. You know, it's trusting and trusting. But when you're ready, you're ready. Sometimes you need a little bit of a push. Like 4 years, Darryl. 4 years ago, you rode up to, but this is, you know, you're still drawn. You come back.
Mm.
And your son spoke to me last year. And he said, it's fantastic, the change that's happened in you.
To give Mac a bit more of the idea of how it happens and what it's probably nailed it, when we started, I found it really, really, really hard to try and find blokes.
Yep.
The interview. Why? Because I didn't connect with blokes that well. And I think most of us, when we're kicking off, we don't know how to connect with blokes well. Mm. What we need to learn is how to do that. And what I watch these fellas. I don't go along with shed nights just to go and have fun. I go along and I watch these fellas. And I watch how they behave, how they work. I go out with Ian and Margaret for tea sometimes. And I watch how they behave as husband and wife. Because I've got a wife and I want to learn to love. And I don't see too many people in my church. So I've got marriages that I want to mentor mine after. But I've seen one now. I'm not saying Watto's the be-all, end-all of my life. He's not. We've disagreed on stuff, and he's hurt me a few times. But I know he loves me. I know he loves me hard. So what's making it easier for me now is I'm learning how to connect with folks. 2 years ago, I couldn't have sat at the breakfast table like I did today and say to you, Sean, who was sitting beside me, mate, how you going? What's your battle? What's, you know, like, what? Why are you here? What's your passion to be here at men's camp and doing what you're doing? And he said, oh, my battle's been stress. You know, I couldn't have done that 2 years ago. I didn't care 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the thing is, if you don't care, then sheds, you're not going to run a shed. There's got to be something there that makes you passionate about men. Now, Mac, I spoke to you last year, and you shared a bit of your life with me about daughters, because I'm in a bit of pain. I've got one daughter, and I love her. She's beautiful. She's 22. She's awesome. I don't understand her. Even this weekend, I mean, I've been in pain this weekend. I went to bed early last night because she wouldn't return any calls or texts that I sent her for 3 days. I knew she's in a dark place, but she wouldn't talk to me. And I'm thinking, how's this going? Now, you talked into my heart last year, and you have been good for me to do that. So, well, you need
God,
to know
God
that.
God talking, Wayne. I don't...
Absolutely.
I do remember talking to you, but I don't know what I said.
Yeah.
But anyway...
But this is the stuff that will set you up for good interviews. As you are looking for blokes to interview, you will be genuinely interested in what's going on in their life. And then, as God speaks to you, you'll go... Mate, I'd love to interview with our shit, because there's lots of fellas that keep asking, okay, you keep talking about men and boys, but what about girls?
Mm.
What you're doing is
you're going past from a how are you to what's really going on.
What's going on in your life?
And that's
because we don't care really how are you.
Yeah, that's it.
When we ask it, we don't really care. So
folks will say I'm fine.
There's a really good thing happening here. Wayne has really got the gift of the gab. He's got humour, he can say a little joke and he can throw us off and we can just go and he can go. He can just keep talking, right? This is what happens. But you said something about daughter, and out of that, the real guts of what's going on in his heart is he's in pain because his Jacinta daughter is in pain, right? And that's... He can't cover that up.
And that's
he can't cover that up. But if you let him just tell his testimony, he'll rail it off, and people will go, "Well done, Wayne. Mm-hmm. Well done, Wayne."
And even with daughters, you know, my eldest, 14, doesn't want to have anything to do with me. My 12-year-old does. So this is from separated things. But it's, you know, in my head, I'd say, "Yeah, I trust the Lord with all my heart." You know, he's got a plan and purpose for the girls. But with the heart connection, if I'm honest, I actually had to come and say, oh, hang on, I can say that in my head. Hang on, God, I don't trust you with my girls. Once I was honest about that, about, you know, I could put up this facade, yeah, everything's okay. But until I could say, no, I don't trust you. I don't trust you with my heart. Yeah. It was amazing, a couple of months, well, I don't know how long it was, but the aggro that I had with the mother lifted.
Comes out.
And, you know, I was in pain. Wayne would, you know, he knew the pain that I was in. I'd get on the phone and just, anger, what do I do with this anger? What do I do with this crap? What do I do with the vitriolic thoughts? But, you know, it's been, you know, allowing yourself to, you know, just daughter, you know. He talks about his daughters, your daughters, you know, who's got children here? Hang on, now this is it. Ivan hasn't been married. His mother died 20 years ago. He's still struggling with grief with that and loneliness, aren't you, Ivan? And yet, I love seeing Ivan. You know, he's got a gentle soul, he's like... You know, I don't have a grandfather or a father.
You need blokes like Ivan in your shed.
Young blokes need old blokes around them.
Yeah.
All of us.
We're going to be running out of time. You asked about how do you get. Does that answer your question about how you get interviews? And you keep in touch. You give up if you're looking at
hang
getting
on,
the shed off.
You asked him if it means any questions. But this is, you know, Mac, it's being able to connect and just sort of,
listen to yourself.
Did he answer the question?
That's right.
No, he hasn't. He might. What's happening is we've been trying to get a shed going for 4 or 5 years, and it just goes up and down like that, anything between 10 and I don't know, 20 blokes. And we don't have a set date, and after I come back from this weekend, I'm going to say, okay, we are going to have it on a date.
First Monday, second, whatever. Yeah.
Monday is a really good night in suburbia. Monday night is a night when blokes can get away, and we have it 6:30 to 8:30.
Yeah.
And it even gives the young fathers an opportunity to have tea with their kids and so their children, and get there at 7 o'clock for the interviews between 7 and 8:30. We finish on time. And if you're a small shed, pardon me, if you can have two interviews, it's great. Two shorties, two 15 minutes or two 20s, because men like action. Women soon have two talks than one big long one.
Right, okay. And you have it in the same venue every time?
No.
No?
We don't. These guys do. We don't.
We
so
do.
So you move around? Okay, yeah, that's what we were doing. Just wondering whether that's the right.
We
well,
do because
whatever works for you. Whatever works for you, Mac. I reckon at the moment it's working for us, but what I sort of said was we struggle to get a shed. And he's saying, mate, why don't you just pick two or three? Now, I just keep asking God, and I think that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Is just keep saying, Lord, where do you want us to be? Because, you know, I can instigate whatever. Not, you know, we can always get sheds, but is it where you want us to be?
Yeah. It's best not on a church property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Because there's guys that they feel intimidated.
Yeah, sure.
And it's like, and it's not against church, but you know,
through
shed and time, once you start going to church.
Yeah. So whoever's hosting it usually buys a couple of dozen steaks, and everybody chucks $5 in the kitty.
Yep.
And we have we were saying bring your own drinks, so people bring in their drinks and have two or three stubbies. And then
well,
we said,
now this is another.
Yeah,
it's not a criticism, but we don't have alcohol.
No, well,
we and we didn't realise that because there was guys who struggled, and Daryl.
Yeah.
So we do that to honour those guys. And yet Daryl sat with us and had, you know, we had some wine, and he's okay, he's strong enough.
Yeah.
But
well, we decided that we have an esky of soft drink there because we don't want people talking.
Yeah, with the grog, the bravado.
Yeah.
Because guys can't pick that up, he's just saying, because of the grog.
Can I follow up on a question of like getting the shed going? How important is that, like that first person with a passion, to be able to gather a few people at the beginning? How important is it that one person's got a vision or passion to go to get it going and can gather a bit, like how much of a team?
We're pretty new. We've been going for about 5 years, but we had a bit of a split. We had fellas wanting to run it like men's breakfast, and I'd get ankle tapped every week, and I'd come away and I'd be,
so what do you think
about shitty that?
The difference between a
breakfast. They continually wanted a profile guest speaker.
Okay.
A high profile guest speaker.
Well, we did try the guest speaker
bit. I think men's breakfast, not getting invited to other churches to speak. I reckon they got whiskers on it for men. The way
the churchy fellas will go.
The guilty blokes will prop up the system will go.
Yeah.
Saturday morning's very sacred. If you're a young man, you've got young kids and wife works. Saturday morning is the most sacred part of the week.
Yeah.
You leave them alone. Monday and Tuesday nights are really gettable for men. PJ did a lecture out of Bidgie Down Baptist, Gateway Baptist, a big place to be, on Saturday afternoon between 2 and 5, and that works, believe it or not, because you can do your Saturday morning stuff, and you can actually get home and have dinner and go out at night, so your wife doesn't miss that. I saw that work 2 to 5, but the Monday night, and our shed night is like showcase a place because it's just got so big, and every month we get 15 or 20 blokes that drive 3 hours to come and have a look at shed. So we've been doing the same sort of shed, so we just feel that's what God wants us to do. But we had the pain of 20 and ridicule rubbish. Before we were slightly accepted within the Christian circles. Sadly, there's a lot of women in Australia.
Well, I'm drinking water.
Yeah.
Or his head's going to roll. He's a young fella.
We,
the men who love the Lord that sit in churches every week, a lot of them, we're too overfed, we're too spoiled, and we sort of say, well, this is good. But when it's to get out into the highways and the byways to meet the thousands of men that are in pain.
I haven't turned it into wine.
The Lord will do that.
So, well, that's for me, is that we are sitting in our churches and we're saying, how can we evangelise?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God has put something that right on our doorstep that you don't have to knock on doors. I don't know, I work with fellas all the time and men in our homes all the time. And people ask me, is God for real? Now, I never had that before. And yet we're talking about going knocking on people's doors to see if they're interested in God. And I'm saying, people are knocking on our doors and we're too stodgy, or what is it that's stopping us? So I think what I was going to say is, if all you're trying to do is touch the church fathers, leave them in church. Mm. If that's all you're trying to do, leave them in church. They're happy, they're content, they're getting fed, they're cool.
But Jesus...
As
Jesus the man, he met people where they are at.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, one of the things I think that I found from mentoring from you guys over there is Munya is very much a part of Murrumba Township. Now, Munya is a drug rehabilitation and alcohol rehabilitation at Salvo's Run. And I thought, I kept seeing, for years I've been looking at this, what's going on, I'm saying, Lord, in our community of Bean Lee, and what works for us is we don't, there's probably half a dozen from the Lutheran churches. Every congregation of every denomination in our area is in on this. That's why it's big. It's every, the Baptists, the Lutherans, the Blinken Uniting, the Anglicans. And the Anglicans and the Uniting guys love it. And the Baptists, they just love it. The Lutheran guys, we're a bit, maybe it's not really us. But we're there. So I've been looking around and saying, Lord, there's so many down and out people in our community that need to know you love them. And I don't know how to talk to them. So, but we need them because they're the ones that are going to teach us, as they're forgiven, how much forgiveness really means.
Oh.
Isn't it? Who's forgiven? Who is, what's the word? Come on, give us the biblical bit. Who appreciates it more, the bloke forgiven less or the bloke forgiven more? So now, it's taken us about 2 years to get to the point where I met this Jake, he took us on a driver training thing for me and my kids. I took my kids on this driver training thing. And he was the bloke that did it. And he's involved in a thing in Bean Lee, in outreach to homeless people. It's taken me 2 years to get in there. Because he wanted me to go to his thing, and I didn't have time. So he comes to my thing. Now he's bringing at least half a dozen blokes along every night that we have it, that look like something out of a horror movie. Seriously. More tattoos and piercings. And one bloke the other night, I said to me, mate, 5 years ago, you just scared the crap out of me. I had to run the other side of the road to get away from you, and I hugged him and he cried.
And hide your bone.
That's my crying. That's what I hugged him, he said.
But that's the critical part. He actually hugged him, so he touched him. You know, we're not allowed to actually, with the sexuality side, touch is the biggest healing, part of the healing thing.
Mm. So in answer to where, how does it go and how does it happen, I reckon you can't instigate this stuff. I don't think you can orchestrate it. Mm. You've got to have a passion for it. Mm. And slowly you build a team of people. You say, Lord, and if it's not in your church, if it's not in my church, I don't get a lot of support from my congregation and it hurts me a bit. But what I said, like he says, just get on there. It's not about your church. It's about God. It's not about you, Wayne. It's about God.
What happens after the interview? So you have the interviews?
No questions.
No questions. No questions. This is an important part. Mm. No questions from the floor. Mm. Because you can get tied up and it can go on and on and on.
Right.
And guys just get, apparently we take in, 10 minutes in an hour. If we sit for too long. But it's just sharp, short, concise.
Mm.
So interview.
Mm.
Preferably not a break in between because it's hard to get blokes in. But if you
usually have a break.
If you can keep it concise, 15 minutes, and then after that, okay. Any of you has
any questions?
Any questions? We don't take questions from the floor. Go and talk to that bloke. If it's touched your heart, go and say g'day. And it's another method of connecting. It's
so you talk to him, you talk to the guy, or talk to someone else.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I'll
still be there, or go home, you can go home at 8:30, but blokes are still there at 10:30.
At the end of the night, there's
while they're actually stacking the chairs up and doing the work, the ministries are going on and on and on over a tea, coffee or the tin cans.
That just leads me to another point, Wado. We've had a few fellas, particularly older fellas, that have come along and said, I don't feel like, you know, I look at you guys and you do it so easy. I don't find it easier to connect with people. And he's got this little gem of a toolbox of little things. Try this. So I said, mate, look, we have beetroot every night, and a beetroot and a pineapple need to be opened up. Can you just keep an eye on the table or the food table? And when that, don't open up too much, because it'll give away. I said, just keep an eye on that. And I said to him, I took him over that night, and I took him over and said, how'd you go tonight, John? Now, he's just retired and got a big vacuum in his life. And he said, for the first time, he said, I had a great time. I felt like I was part of the team, and I talked to so many blokes.
Give him a job.
Give him a job.
Just give him a job.
Even buttery
give him a job.
So Wayne, are you looking for guys that can potentially step up and do help with interviewing and bringing them along? Is that part of the, like,
I'm learning that too now in our shed. Yeah. Ian has decided, and we've talked about it a fair bit, because Ian and Chad used to do most of the interviews, and now John, I might do an interview over there every now and then, and I thought, this isn't a Wayne shed. This can't be a Wayne shed. This has got to be a God shed. So there's myself and another guy that have been doing the interviews in our shed. And now I thought, you know, we're looking around, who could do it? And of course, nobody wants to do it. If you ask them, will you do it? No, I don't want to do it. So I've got a guy from the United Church, because at the moment, very Lutheran, and I don't want him to be that. So, and thank God, he's just smashed his elbow. He's got all this time at the moment. He's feeling like crap. I said, mate, you up for an interview next year on the 25th of June? You up for it? Oh, I don't know. I said, mate, I reckon, you know this fella. We met him through Emmaus. And I said, he said he'd be happy to do it. And I said, you know him better than I do, and I know he's got a bit of a story. How about we talk to him together, and you do the interview? And mate, this guy's, he's like, I feel like shit, I can't go to work. But, so, no, we're opening up, we're trying to get fellas, at least one a night, that isn't either Dan or me.
Is the, please try this for the rest of the weekend you're here. This is absolutely vital. Everywhere I go, especially men's teams, and I go to the big church at the moment on the north side of Brisbane, is Brisbane Down Baptist, where the who's who go. They have a shed night, they get a big speaker there, and they have 200 bikes. And I walk in there, and I got my shed. I didn't have my shed shirt, so I just walk in there. And I knew one person there. And I just said, oh, g'day, Graham, how are you? Now, I walked and stood out on the edge so that I would not be missed. And all the blokes are doing their little sit down around their tables, and they're all interested in each other. And I just stand there and I say, Lord, I just want to see how these men can connect.
Yeah.
Nobody came over to me at all. Now, I'm a big boy and I'm a connector. It's easy for me to walk up to people. I know it's not easy, but you can learn it.
Absolutely learn it.
And the young bloke who runs the shed night up at Bridgie Down Baptist, he started at our shed night, and now they're doing a mighty job. He caught my eye, and he was doing a lot of things. He caught my eye, he came and said, Wado, how are you going, Wado? He said, oh, mate, look, I'm sorry I haven't got you over the shed night before. And you know, I said, I'm all right, no worries, mate. You just keep doing what you're doing. Anyway, and he's busy. And he came over and I said, but mate, I have been standing here for 5 minutes and there's not one of those blokes over there that noticed me standing over here all lonely. Okay. So he walked away. I said, but I'm a big boy, I'm okay. And he walked away and he walked down here and he said, could you go over and see that bloke over there, Wado, and have a talk to him, to these two blokes? And these two nice young blokes come over and say, hello, how are you? What's your name? And I said, I'm Ian Watson. And they said, what church are you from? And I said, I'm not telling you. And they looked at me and I said, what's that got to do with why I'm here? Mm. And I said, sorry, fellas, I gotcha. Mm. They were lovely young men, all churchified and all there and spiritual, you know. But we didn't connect.
What's the questions?
Huh?
What's the questions, isn't it? What's the questions?
We did, and all you need to do is to say, so what's your special interest? And I'll guarantee you 99% of blokes will start talking about their job, and then don't say too much. But then just say, oh, I know I was meaning, do you follow the footy or do you play music or, you know, something like that. And then you go, oh, yeah, I got it. And then you start talking and then just suddenly, just keep rolling them along and then they talk. Paul's a good example of that. He was a quiet man. But when I got to talk to him, it was like last night or something. He just got on something that he knew something that he felt good about. And he just started talking and I thought, this bloke's a diamond. This bloke here, he could be here all weekend and just go quiet the wrong. But he's a diamond. I can't wait to get his number in my phone to keep in touch with him or him.
Any other questions about that? Does that now have
been answered? Yeah, well.
Any other things?
Yeah. Can you briefly explain to me the difference in men, sheds happen to men's sheds?
Men's shed is basically guys getting together and making stuff.
Hands on.
And it's good. Yep. It does some good stuff. It
serves a really good purpose.
A lot of fellas, you know, like to do that and they can then work beside each other and talk. Shed Happens is dealing with heart issues. It's why what I is very passionate about what's going on in your heart. And I think something I'm learning about our hearts is life treats us differently to women. And our response to that is we harden our hearts because that's what people expect us to do. We have to be tough, we have to be strong, we build a hard heart. So then when we have a relationship with anybody, we've got this heart that's impenetrable because that's the way we like it and it's safe for us. So Shed Happens is a creating an atmosphere for me, is creating an atmosphere that's safe where I can spill my guts and be vulnerable and not be judged. I can't do that in my church. I love it with all my heart, but I can't do that in my church. I just can't do it.
Wayne, the Dubbo boys were to bring down a little mate called Riverbank Frank. This Aboriginal bloke, my age, lives on the riverbank. He's part of the community shed in Dubbo. He's a wonderfully Christian man. That Dubbo shed, the hands-on part, they've got an executive group and they're highly managed and whatever. Frank is just fantastic there. The leadership of that hands-on shed is very Christian. Great place to be. Ideally, two things happen in the same place. I'm part of the Prime of the Shed, the hands-on thing. You've got to do a training course before you even go and touch the courses, and you've got to get all the stuff, and I don't want to go there. I hate it. I want to use my hands.
You've only got a screwdriver.
Check on the back.
Yeah, we know that.
But ideal, and you can still hide making something and never talk to anyone.
Mm.
Now, and they say to me, oh, what are your name's up on the honor board, you know, because I did a couple of delivered things for them, you know. I don't care about that. And they said, oh, you never come with a shed, I'll pay my $30. But I said, I'm too busy. I'm too busy in the parts of seeing men totally transformed. Absolutely transformed. You know, we've got blokes who've done, I knew nothing about prison, but just because we have so many men that are comfortable to come through ex-prison, because we've got one of our champion mates has done prison ministry all his life. I'm glad God didn't put me into prison ministry. What he puts up with, all that, but they're comfortable to be there. And then they can go and minister. And then the blokes from the rehab, little Darryl Pittman here, just go with him and see what he's like. See what God's doing in his life. Anywhere we go, it's all over Australia. Come with me. I'm going to Rocky on the second Monday in July because the Lutheran pastor up there is a bloke that was a mechanic. And he said, when do I start a shed? And I said, when do you want to do it? Tell me your main man, Rod McCall. And I said to the Lutheran pastor, I said, are you the bloke who baptised my mate's little grandson out in the surf at Yeppoon? And he said, yeah. I said, you're my kind of man, this little baby. And I said, this is Bess Wayled, pastor, blessed. Who's your main man? He said, Ron McCall, give me his number. I phoned him up. We had a good talk. He's put it in the already put it up second Monday in July. I'm going up. I said, yeah, I'll come up. He said, can you come up? And I said, yeah, I'll come up. I said to Timmy Nagel, Tim, you want to come up to for the night? He's the Virgin Pilot. His ministry, he gives me, he said this to me, he said, wherever you go in Australia, you're going on one of my standby flights. That's part of the ministry. And because he's going through this hard part of life with his divorce, he will hopefully come with me. If he can get the night off, he'll fly. Normally we drive. We drove 10 hours to Emerald. Four of us in the car.
We're every minute of it.
I got this Sheila's car, the extra. All the blokes gig me and say, you're a truckie and you drive a girl's extra. That extra, that's a shed. We go everywhere. We
travelling shed.
Travelling shed. And all the way up and all the way back. Those blokes from Horsham and Hamilton, I said to Timmy Nagorka, I said, Timmy, when you get those blokes on the bus, all the way up, get one bloke right in the middle of the bus and nominate. Righto, all you blokes, keep quiet for a minute. Tell your story, Roger. Don't interfere with him. Let him tell his story. All the way up to better blokes. 49 blokes on the bus, and I said, all the way home, tell your story. Because they're gonna build that camaraderie in that bus, right? They're set. They've brought up that young Mal, that tall basketball boy. They've brought that bloke. That bloke hasn't got a father. He's a basketballer. God provided our boy with a finger, showed that boy. They're connected. Now, that other young Josh, who's a young mess bloke. That shed down there, I got those two men on the way. And then Dave Weir has gone over to Hamilton. The Hamilton boys haven't quite got it yet. They're just not going. It takes a bit of courage. But after last night, those Hamilton boys, we were there till 1:15 in the morning doing chat interviews, short chat interviews. Fantastic. Every one of them, those diamonds came out of it. Tonight, I don't care if I sit there until my eyes drop, that if every bloke here just keeps on able to freely talk about something and be interviewed by something, you see? And it's spread the word. I'm not a Bible teacher. I do a lot of study, but somebody gave me this Numbers 11, verse 6, and it was like when Moses, he was whinging, all the people were whinging, and, you know, he was complaining to God, and he said, you know, God, why are they all whinging and whatever? And God said to him something like, go and find 70 of your elders, your men, and then with the same spirit that I put on you, Moses, I will put on 70 of your elders to share the load. Now, I don't think I'm Moses. Somebody gave it to me and said, you're like Moses in this, and your job is to go and find 70 men around the country. There are 70 men. Wayne's one.
It's right? Not my fault.
See, he doesn't know it, no. But he's one. Timmy Nagorka's now one. Dave Weir's now one. Go and ask Dave Weir 3 years ago. He was scared. This was everything against what he's been taught at the seminary to do. Now he's pilot, and the next thing he comes and gives me little, what I can't ever talk to that bloke. And when Dave rang me and said, would you come down and do an event? I said, no, Dave, that's not what Ted's about. And he said, well, how am I going to start it? I said, put an ad in your bulletin and say, cappuccino at Macca's, 7 o'clock Thursday night, Pastor Dave Weir, blokes only, no agenda. And he went, what? And I said, you do that, Dave. And he did it, and five blokes turned up. And he said, what am I going to talk about? I said, nothing. Don't say a word to them. This is how we help each other. And I said, Dave, you just listen to your men. And whoever God brings you with, they're your men. Look after them. You don't have to tell them what to do. Just love them. So then he did it again. And he said, I think the next time he got 10 or something like that, and a couple didn't turn up. And then he rang me and he said, Watto, I don't feel very comfortable with this. He said, we just sat around and we didn't do anything. He said, it's within me to run a little study or do something. And I said, don't do it, Dave. Let God do the work in this. Just communicate with your men. Now, that God's called him down to Hamilton, and he's lost. He's got a couple, Steve Cramer. Steve Cramer was the, I said, did I said to Dave, who's your key man? And he said, Steve Cramer. So Steve and I had to talk on the phone. Steve said, what, you come down. I've never met Steve before. He said, you come down because we blokes want to go to Better Blokes last year. And he said, that'll help us have the courage to go to Better Blokes. Last year they had 3 blokes here. This year they got a bus from Victoria, 49 blokes. Right, because Dave is a kingdom man. Dave Lee is a kingdom man. Timmy Nabuka now is, he's so passionate about Shed there, and Dave's his mate. Dave's moved an hour and a half down the road. Those blokes at Horsham can drive down to Hamilton, and Hamilton can drive up to there. So you see what God's going to do in that whole Victorian area? Mm. And then they'll have, then those blokes will have a camp like they had down at Bowser's Bush Shed. They had 150 down there. Next year, that other wonderful bloke, David Modra. Zaka Modra. Those blokes that drive 8 hours from York down at
Air
Peninsula over to Maitland. 8 hours they drove, and then pull their swags out, and then they go home. They've gone home, and they wrote me a letter. Said, "What? Would you come down to Port Lincoln on the 1st to the 3rd of March next year? We're going to do one. There's a Lutheran camp down there on the beach somewhere." I haven't been there in my life ago.
Beautiful, we're going.
Yeah. I'm going. And I just said, no worries. God's doing something all over the country. Mm-hmm. It's not about me, but when you think about the 70 men or whoever it is, it's God's the Moses. He said, Watto, you're there, Marlborough Downs. You're Sydney. So there's boys at up at Campbelltown that are still talking about it.
That's fine. Quarter
of an hour.
You
see?
Yeah.
So, if you're called to be one of the 70, the day's going to be that there's 10 million blokes in Australia. Are 10 million blokes banging out to have reality? Yes, they are. They are. They are.
Can we just, we've got to finish, but is anybody, if you've got any imperative questions or you're still sitting there thinking, how do I kick off a shed? Like, we'll be here all night, and I went to bed early last night because I thought today's going to be a big night, so we'll be up all night. But I want to thank you guys for at least showing enough interest to say, well, what do I want to do? And if you really want to, I firmly believe in my heart, we in our churches have flicked out so much money to youth and Sunday school and all this stuff. And kids come along and they get really inspired and they go home and Dad doesn't go to church, so why should I? I believe that this is the year for me that God's saying, I'm calling my men. Because if I get the hearts of the men, I get the whole lot.
Return the hearts of the fathers to their children.
Yes.
And if you're serious about it, you want to make a difference for God's kingdom. You don't want to make a difference for your church. You want to make a difference for God's kingdom. Then get on with this. And I keep saying to my followers, the train is leaving the station. If you're not on it, you haven't missed it. You're gonna have a trip another day. But get on this because God is using it mightily in our country. But you have to really have a passion about really want to make a difference for me. And I see it in most of you fellas, and I hope to have it. You know, I want to catch up with Mac again, and I'd love to sit down and have a chat over a meal. So thanks for coming. And Lord, I just want to thank you for the men that are here. Mm. I want to thank you for the passion that not only all the men on this weekend, but the blokes that are sitting in this room now. And if there's any timidity in our hearts, you haven't made us to be timid men, you've made us to be bold. Get that, whatever's holding us back, whatever pain or ache is in our hearts, let us confess it this weekend and let us get it out there in such a way that you will move mountains with our hearts. Massage our hearts and do it for each other. So when we go and have lunch, sit with somebody like you don't know and ask him the questions. I just wanted you to have a look at those. There's some good questions that you might ask. I did want to talk about questions never to ask, and we've talked about, don't ask him about his job, don't ask him about his religion, you know, how his marriage is going, even because if he's in a bad place, he might not want to talk about that yet. So have a think about where you're going with that. But thanks, guys. Have a great weekend. Ask us all the questions you like. Thanks, Warner.